Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gents. How are you guys doing this morning?
Really well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, the Titans make a trade for Ernest Jones with the L.A. Rams. And first of all, let's just start on the Rams part of this. Why did the relationship, or whatever the situation is, why did it deteriorate with the Rams to the point where they were willing to trade him at the age of 24? Is it as simple as they don't want to pay that position? How do you view the Rams' decision to trade Ernest Jones at this point heading into the regular season?
Well, it's a couple of things. I mean, clearly there are a couple of things I'm not going to say publicly, but in terms of the Rams. But, I think when Aaron Donald retired, they decided they were going to retool the defense. And I think part of that retooling was really reshaping the scheme completely and, what players they really wanted to prioritize in terms of how they were going to scheme it. And, I think they knew this was a guy that was in a contract year. They weren't going to pay. And, I think it was, part of it was scheme. But it wasn't only scheme. And again, I don't know how public they're going to be about this, but I think they expected him to show up to camp in a little bit better shape, and he didn't. And I think they were upset about that. I think, he was a little bit over the weight limit that they thought he would be at when he got into Rams camp. And, I think they were not pleased about it. And, he started camp kind of under a situation where, I don't want to say they were immediately looking to move on from him, but, I think that was a motivating factor. And, the reality was he was getting cut. They were going to cut him at the end of camp if they did not trade him. And, I think that the trade offered them an opportunity to get something out of him. But, it was a surprise. I'll be honest. I went through. He had a good day at camp when I was there. He intercepted Matt Stafford when I was there. And I thought, okay, wow, this is good. He's stepping into this role that, I think they planned on long-term, prior to this camp, him being a leader and being a important piece of that defense. And that obviously is not what ultimately happened. And, but again, I think it's a little bit of a few different things, just not wanting to pay him, retooling the defense in a way that was different in terms of what the priorities were going to be and, where they would want to devote money. But I absolutely think that, they expected him to show up to camp in better shape, and he didn't. And, that was part of the reason why they ultimately ended up moving on from him.
Yeah, McVay was pretty testy with the beat writers the other day talking about this. So out of shape. There's also been some talk, some kind of a knee issue. It doesn't sound like it's too significant. But also, he's a team captain. He's been a very good player. Right. How do you think this plays out then for the Titans? I know sometimes a situation like this will happen. Maybe he's not happy that he knows he's not going to get that second deal where he is.
Right.
He wants
right.
out. Do you see this being potentially a guy who now has that extra juice and is a good pickup for the Titans?
Well, it's a wake-up call. There's no question. Because, I was stunned. I couldn't believe it when I heard, that he was on the outs there. And initially I was just like, okay, this is – I remember when I went through Rams camp in 2023 and I was talking to somebody there, one of their key decision makers, and he just straight up told me, like, when Aaron Donald retires, we're going to have to rethink what we do defensively. And it's probably going to mean that not only we're going to have to add a bunch of other young pieces, but we're going to have to change the way that we scheme, because they schemed the ways they drew up the scheme, it was very much dependent on what Aaron Donald did in the scheme. He was somebody who occupied every single snap, at least two offensive players and sometimes three. And it was, and you know, that affected how they used the linebackers, how they attacked the line of scrimmage. And so I knew once Donald retired, oh wow, they're going to change things. And then they also lost Raheem Morris, the defensive coordinator, in the process. So I knew change was afoot. But I also think that Jones, it was just expected in the organization that, okay, hey, this guy's coming in the contract year. It's a big deal. I think they thought we're going to get the absolute best we can possibly get out of this guy. And then, you know, I think they were just surprised that when he got there, they felt like he wasn't in, you know, football shape. They felt like he wasn't where he needed to be ultimately. And I think that really motivated them to move on from him. I do think the coaching staff was upset with that scenario, and they knew this was on top of them rethinking how they wanted to scheme things. And, I think for the Titans, at the very least, look, you're getting what I think is a quality player, you know, when he's at the top of his game, and I'm sure Jones will have something to say about this. And again, this is, it's funny because I just don't think the Rams are going to speak on it publicly, you know, when it comes to their exact motivation for, moving away from a guy that, as you said, you know, team captain, what I thought would be a centerpiece of defense. And again, a player that when I went through, I was like, oh, you know, had a good practice. And, it definitely surprised me, you know, down the stretch to hear that. And I had heard they were going to cut him. Like, that's what surprised me. I was like, wow, they're cutting this guy. Like, he's, you know, it's, they feel like they're going to bench him. They're not going to play him. And, you know, he was going to get released, and that's why he got traded. So, you know, I think the Titans, it's, you're getting a player with talent, you're getting a player with youth, but there was clearly motivation from the Rams to separate from him. And I don't know how, you know, as a player, you don't take that as a pretty significant change in direction from a franchise that should motivate you to go and play your best football in Tennessee. Obviously, again, nothing's changed. I mean, he's on the verge of being able to, you know, sign a lucrative deal and be a big part of a defense. And I'm curious to know exactly what his response is to this whole thing, because as you said, I mean, the Rams staff clearly did not want to be questioned about it. I think they clearly had their motivations. It's a situation where I wish they would just say it, you know, be honest about why they did what they did. But I think part of that has to do with, you know, I guess not wanting to like knock the player, you know, in the wake of something like this.
So Charles, Malik Willis was traded from the Titans to the Packers. Couple things on that. Number one, what do you make of the idea of Malik Willis as the backup for Green Bay? And I saw you tweet, I guess, this spreadsheet out the other day, which is just unbelievable to look at. The quarterbacks drafted in 2021 and in 2022, and how many of them are either on different teams or out of the league at this point, yeah, just 3 and 4 years later. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad run between 2021 and 2022. And it's, you know, when I was going through the camp tour, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the show last week, but, you know, I happened to talk to a GM and we were talking about the 2021 quarterback class and, you know, four of the five first rounders being pretty clear misses. And, you know, he just went on and on about how COVID, you know, not being able to get the proper evaluation on those guys and spend enough time with not only the quarterbacks, but pretty much everybody that was drafted really resulted in a lot of really bad mistakes. Now, 2022, that class was viewed as a pretty tepid quarterback class. You had Kenny Pickett, obviously, who was the only first round pick. And, you know, he went, it was what, in the teens in the draft. And I think people knew, hey, the talent isn't quite where it was in 2021, what they thought was a bumper crop of quarterbacks, but clearly a ton of misevaluation in 2021. And then 2022, I think just guys just was not a great class. I remember at 1.2, we all thought I don't want to say you guys, but I definitely thought Malik Willis was a potential first-round pick.
Oh, yeah.
In that draft, and not at all. You know, he slid significantly. I mean, I had a GM tell me I would if we did not have a resolution at quarterback, I would take Malik Willis in the first round, and then he didn't take him like in any other opportunities after that either. So I was like, maybe that's how truthful this really was on the Malik Willis evaluation. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see him go to Green Bay because I think, you know, do I want to say he needs a fresh start? Again, he was the choice of a, you know, past regime. He's a player that probably fits in terms of like schematically what they want to do with the starting quarterback a little more closely. You know, that's all I can figure. Plus, look, there was an asset to be had for Willis, and that's another guy that, because they were keeping Mason Rudolph, you're going to cut him, and, you know, so you get something out of him. You know, I know Joe. I mean, I don't know what Joe talked to. I mean, I don't want to say this. Joe was – do you want to talk about your evaluation of him in the preseason? You felt pretty good about him, right?
Wait, this preseason you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, I thought he definitely got better. He's gotten better. Yeah.
Sure, right. Yeah, I mean, you know, so, I mean, if you're the
Did
Packers,
I tell you he was about to be an all-pro? Did I?
No. I'm not going to suggest that. I just hadn't seen him enough, you know, this preseason to know if he'd really taken a meaningful enough step to be the backup quarterback in Tennessee. I mean, I know what Mason Rudolph is, you know, and I assumed when he was brought in, okay, that's really going to be the chosen backup, and Willis has got an uphill climb. So I don't think it surprises me at all that he's getting another opportunity elsewhere. If, as you say, Joe, and again, I wasn't there enough to know for sure if he was taking another meaningful step, but that's two off seasons where, and I trust your assessment, that he's gotten better. So he's still a player that, has his arrow pointed upward, and he will, you know, he's the lockdown backup quarterback there.
I mean, you're making me into the Malik you know, apology. I mean, he's better. He's a okay. Backup. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, and ultimately, look, if that's the role that you know he's going to play in the NFL, I'm sure he's got the skill set to stick around for a while. But it makes more sense in terms of what I think. You know, Green Bay is both doing schematically, and the Titans, as I said, you know, being. I felt like it was pretty clear that they had chosen a different backup quarterback when they make the move toward Rudolph in the offseason, and it was just a matter of time before, you know, Willis ended up moving on. So not a huge, I think, surprise for me. I don't think he'll ever – I guess I just – personally, I don't envision him developing into a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think there – it's just certain, you know, the time on task, at times the speed of plays, and I don't know, it felt to me like when I went through, you know, camp, he was still, you know, a tick slow on some stuff, and that's going to be a problem and for most NFL teams. I mean, he seems to me like a guy who's going to take sacks, and quarterbacks who tend to take sacks and aren't getting the ball out fast enough, they never really ascend to be starters.
So what did, if there's one thing that stands out, or maybe, you know, it could be more than one, but really surprise you this week, Charles, and are the Lions going to have a third receiver on their team this year?
Who can play football? Right? Don't you think it's got to be Patrick? I mean, he gets added to their practice squad.
Would you say Tim Patrick?
Yeah.
See, there you go. I didn't even know that happened. Yeah, that's not bad. That's why I come to you.
Is that news? I assumed that
Restore
he has been added at this point to their practice squad. Has he not been added?
I believe he has.
Oh, no, I haven't gone to my RestoreTheRoar.com fan site today yet. I was counting on you.
Something out loud that hasn't happened yet. I've been so underwater, like, doing other stuff. I'm, like, you know, researching all this stuff for why all these other teams failed to complete three-peats and working on that piece, and then doing some stuff on NFC quarterbacks, and so I haven't been paying attention. So I thought I just said something out loud that hadn't happened yet.
And they got Allen Robinson too.
Breaking, yeah, yeah. Allen Robinson's interesting. Yeah.
So there's two. I mean, that's two veteran players that, frankly, you know, Patrick. I think it's interesting because I think Patrick had a really good preseason for the Broncos. I also think that Sean Payton was. He had his guys, like, in at wide receiver. They drafted a bunch of young guys. I think he felt like he'd remolded the position. And it was more sort of like, I want to move on, especially when the guy hasn't been consistently healthy. That drives Sean Payton nuts. So it wasn't a surprise to me that, you know, Patrick ended up being cut loose. And, you know, Allen Robinson's just never turned the corner. He's had a couple of organizations where after the Rams, I think, you know, there were the Steelers expected a lot out of him last year, didn't get it. You know, the Rams expect a lot out of him, you know, that really ultimately didn't materialize. And, you know, so it's two veterans who are really good in the wide receiver room. And I actually think those are pretty decent additions for Detroit. Oddly enough, the most surprising thing to me that actually occurred was what happened with Ernest Jones. Like again, when I went through, he had a good practice, and I'm like, oh yeah, young player who's now with, you know, your superstar defensive tackle retiring is going to ascend this leadership role, and then it didn't happen, and it surprised me. That was really the one situation that developed where I didn't expect it because of the age and prior to this season where the trajectory was going, but I clearly didn't factor in what they expected of him showing up into camp, the injury stuff, the contract stuff, this whole confluence of things that ended up in him getting moved. But that, to me, was definitely the most shocking development in terms of a key piece of talent moving from one team to another.
Charles Robinson with us here on the program. So, Charles, CeeDee Lamb gets the big deal. Ja'Marr Chase has shown up to Bengals practice. And then there's Brandon Ayuk with John Lynch getting publicly frustrated yesterday, saying, you know, at some point – you got to play. What do you make of what this has now turned into with Brandon Ayuk? You know, the Trent Williams situation is still going on with them as well. What do you make of what this means for San Francisco as we're now less than 2 weeks away from week one?
Well, I think the Niners are like, okay, you had the opportunity to shop yourself. you got other deals offered to you that would have seemed commensurate to what you were looking for, and you didn't want those. So now we've offered you, you know, we've had offers with you that you don't want to take. You've got other teams where you've had offers you didn't want to take. What are we doing here? The market has said what you are. The money is what it is. I think that they're to the point where it's like either take this deal or we're not going to continue to do this hold-in. And that's part of why, you know, you have the doctors look at him and declare him healthy, because you have to have the ability now to make a decision on him. And I think, and I tweeted this yesterday, like, I don't understand how you can have him in the building, you know, taking part in a hold-in once the games start. Because now you have a player who's showing up to meetings, he's doing the lifting, he's doing all these things that normally he would be doing, but he's not going out to practice, and he's just like, I'm not going to play in games. Well, you don't give a player like that game checks. You suspend that player at that point. Like, you suspend him for conduct detrimental. And I think they do not want to do that. Like, they know that's sort of the sour note that could really, you know, send this thing sideways. But at the very least, you got to be able to fine him and say, we're fining you, you're not getting game checks, obviously, once the season starts. So this hold-in stuff is now, it's a holdout. I don't know how you have a holdout with the guys in the building. That's the weird thing here, where I'm just like, and it's the same thing with Ja'Marr Chase. I don't know, like, functionally how you are going to move forward with a player who's like, yeah, I'll keep showing up to the facility, but I'm not going to play football games for you until this deal gets done. That's where teams get put into a scenario where they're like, yeah, we just don't want you at the facility then. You can't be here. Like, you're a normal piece of the team, but then saying, I'm not going to step onto a football field for you now that the games count. It's a really tough week, I think, for both of those organizations. They have to figure out what they're willing to do with these players. And I just don't see any scenario where they don't have to take some kind of significant retribution that straight up shows we're not going to keep doing this now that we're, you know, to a point now where the games are starting. I will say this about the Bengals. I think the Bengals look at the situation with Chase, and if they were being honest, they would say, hey, we'll take him to the end of his deal and we'll franchise tag him, and then we'll just do it that way. We'll ride out a couple years of his career if we have to put a franchise tag on him, even though the tag is going to be really high because of salary, wide receiver salary. We'll go that route. The Niners are not willing to do that with Ayuk. Like, they want a resolution one way or another. Like, either, you know, you'll take a deal with another team and we'll trade you, or if you want to be here, which they thought he had signaled that when he didn't take these other opportunities to be traded and sign deals elsewhere, they thought he wanted to be there. And now they're just like, okay, why do we keep wrangling on contract details that at this point should have been, you know, finished. So, weird spots for both of these teams. Trent Williams, that's another one too, where I don't know. I think they know that they're going to get a contract adjustment done on them. But again, I think they thought it would have been done by now, and it isn't. And, you know, that's another situation that's troubling. It's something that clearly should have been done by this point. And all I can say is I hope Brock Purdy ends up being worth this, because part of the reason why they're not paying, you know, these guys, in particularly Ayuk, is because they know they have to pay Brock Purdy down the line. And that's kind of pushed them to a crossroads in both of these situations, Williams and Ayuk.
It's all lining up for the Lions. It's all lining up. So give us a little preview, Charles. You said you're working on something on, obviously, the Chiefs, who I think have a great chance to three-peat, and the challenges. What? Give me the – If there's a thumbnail description of what you've discovered, and then also, do you like the Chiefs to three-peat?
I do. I think it, so. I talked to Tom Brady, a while back, and asked him just like, "Hey, you went through this. You've won Super Bowls. You had an opportunity to three-peat, and it didn't happen for you. Like, what you know? You're looking at the Chiefs. What do you think?" And you know, Brady just kind of went through the scenario of like how extremely difficult it is to win one Super Bowl, and you have to have this multitude of things line up just to win one. And he's like, now when you take that and you extrapolate it and you go to 2 and 3, it's just, there's just no, your run of luck has to be so good for you to win three. You can't run into a hot team like in the playoffs. You can't like basically catch a team at the wrong time. You have to have the right playoff positioning. Injuries become such a huge factor. And, you know, so there were, what, eight other franchises that had opportunities to three-peat, and none of them pulled it off. And so I basically went back and looked at all these seasons where they weren't able to get it done, trying to find sort of a common thread. And really, it was a multitude of different things. So for, like, Brady, there were a ton of injuries. I think they ended up rotating through like between 40 and 50 different starters over the course of the 2005 season when they failed to repeat or three-peat. And they lost both coordinators. Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss went elsewhere. Like, Belichick didn't even have an offensive coordinator in 2005. And it was just, I mean, they got gutted basically by injuries. They lost Teddy Bruschi and Rodney Harrison in that same season. So those were like the two cornerstone leaders of their defense. Bruschi had that stroke. If you remember that year, it was like really weird. And those are the things you can't prepare for. So if I'm looking at the Chiefs, and I think there's no question in my mind, they have the talent to pull off a three-peat, and they've added a lot of, like, honestly kind of banged up assets at wide receiver, but I think they've just layered it. But already you're looking like Hollywood Brown, right? You're dealing with an injury there. And Xavier Worthy, you're expecting a lot out of a guy that's going to be a wide receiver. If you ask me, why won't the Chiefs pull this off? It'll be injuries. Like, to me, that's, I think the coaching staff's fine. You know, they're in a really good place schematically. You know, Andy is what he is on offense, Steve Spagnuolo on defense. I think from a talent standpoint, for the most part, they're bringing back a team that's comparable to what won the Super Bowl last season, but you're going to be depending on Mahomes again, pretty significantly, to cover up for some of those holes. You're going to be, hoping that Travis Kelce can continue to be a high-level player, even though, you know, he's getting to that point where you're like, when is the turn going to happen for him? And, you know, he's going to start to struggle as an elite-level player. You have to hope that that doesn't happen this season. But I just think the thread that I look at that's most common amongst the teams that didn't win it, injuries just piled up. Like, some of them aged out. The Steelers, you know, when they had that second back-to-back Super Bowl win, they got to, you know, got to a point where, like, Franco Harris was done. Like, Terry Bradshaw was starting to fade. And so, yeah, I mean, it's – I think the Chiefs are a great team. I think there's definitely everything there to do it. But, you know, I think Brady's right. You have to have perfection in a lot of different ways. And I don't know that – I mean, that's just a lot to hope for the Chiefs to, you know, hit everything right and not have the injuries. And I would bet you that if it doesn't happen, we'll be talking toward the end of the season about – you know, some kind of injuries piling up or something significant happening from an injury standpoint that ends up scuttling them, kind of like when they lost in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay and they had all those injuries on the offensive line.
Well, Charles, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Next week when we talk to you, it will be NFL season,
the opening day.
Yeah,
opening day.
I'm so happy, man. Yeah, opening day. I will be in Kansas City, actually, for that opener.
Nice.
So.
Watch Derek Henry run for three bills in that game. We'll see what happens.
We made it. Enjoy the Ernest Jones. I'm sure the Ernest Jones stuff will go really well now that
I'm sure it will.
We got it all ready to replay.
We will.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Charles.
Thanks,
appreciate it, man. Charles Robinson joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Very interesting stuff that he said on Ernest Jones. We'll react to that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.